This is Senior Moments on KVON 1440.
Proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit. In collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley project.
And for this week's Senior Moment show, we're happy to welcome Yvonne Baginski to the radio station. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
Come real close to that mic for me, will you?
Is this good enough?
Nope, really super close.
Good morning.
There we go. Getting better every second. Try it again.
Good morning.
Okay, almost there. Very good. Yvonne, you have something called Share the Care Napa Valley. What is it? What's it about?
So Share the Care Napa Valley is actually a nonprofit. It's been around for the last 6 years, and we help older people with whatever it is they need. We have a team of 6 volunteers that go out and do friendly visits. We install grab bars in homes. We have a front porch where we reuse and recycle medical supplies for people throughout the county, so anybody can show up and take what they need and drop off what they don't need. And we also purchase dentures and help people pay for their dental bills.
Wow.
We're getting a lot more calls for medical equipment and supplies than we ever have in the past. So a lot of our work recently has been just keeping that porch emptied full, emptied full, emptied full.
Mm-hmm.
We look at ourselves as a distribution center, keeping the stuff out of landfill. So people are dropping off everything from wheelchairs, commodes, walkers, diapers, underpads, just everything, personal care supplies. We even had 2 coats dropped off the other day. So there's a lot of business coming in off and on my front porch, and that's been going on for about 12 years.
Hmm. You must make that location publicly known.
I do. It's at 3205 Montclair Avenue. In fact, I just won a Jefferson Award for the San Francisco Bay Region, and I'll be featured today on KPIX TV on the front porch. So I'm expecting it probably going to have a little more business coming through our way.
Montclair Avenue.
Montclair, right by the Queen.
Okay. Very good. Why did this begin? Why and how and what motivated it?
What motivated is somebody called me and asked me if I knew where they could find a wheelchair. And I said, you know, I don't know, but I'll find you one. And then I started noticing that more and more people were calling and asking for stuff because their insurance company either wasn't paying for it, they were unable to afford it, their doctor had not signed their paperwork, so they couldn't get out of the hospital for a couple of weeks. So I said, well, if I started having people just drop things off on my front porch and invite other people to pick them up, I don't have to be there. The door, you know, the door can be closed. And so it's open 24/7. And as the months and the years have gone by, word has spread. I have people coming from as far away as Lake County. I've had people coming from as far away as Antioch. I've had people come and talk, tell me their stories. I've had all kinds of stories. One of the really good things about having a front porch is you can come out and talk to people, have a cup of coffee with them. I hear about their diseases. I hear about their relationships. I hear about what the doctors did and didn't do. I hear about what's happening to them. I hear a lot of stories. They get to tell me their stories. That's an important part of their healing as well.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like not a lot of expenditure in order to facilitate this exchange, but there must be some costs involved with Share the Care.
So there is, because we're a nonprofit, we have other things that we're doing. So I have an assistant that comes in the afternoons. Just keeping the porch in order is a process in itself. The other thing we do is when we get way too much of things that we know we can't possibly use, we take everything down to MedShare in San Leandro. So MedShare is an enormous recycling reuse enterprise, and they ship things all over the world. So we take 300 to 400 pounds of supplies to MedShare every month. Mm. We also take all the ostomy and colostomy supplies to San Jose. There's a place there that recycles them. So we try to keep everything out of landfill, make sure everything is not taken to the dump. And we reuse almost everything. I think I have probably one trip to the dump a year.
Mm. The whole category of medical waste and everything
associated—it's
enormous,
how much,
right?
You know, we reuse our clothes. We take them to thrift stores. We reuse our You know, we have clothes, we have things we take to thrift stores, we take to Goodwill. We don't have any place to take the stuff that we don't need. And people don't realize that when you're on Medicare or Medi-Cal and you have a shipment of something coming in and you either get better, you don't need it anymore, it doesn't get canceled. They don't take it back. So we've had cases and cases of medical food dropped off for people who've had throat cancer, who have had an inability to swallow. And thousands of dollars worth of stuff that they don't know what to do with. I actually have been taking medical food to a man who lives on a boat in the bay. He has cystic fibrosis and he can't eat and he can't get any medical food. And so I bring him about 8 cases a month, and that's what he's been surviving on. So we find people. We put the word out that we're doing this, and they find us as well. Hmm. It's a wonderful project. I'd like to see it expand. I'm also a senator for the California Senior Legislature, and we just put together 2 proposals which were passed by the legislature. The first one was to expand the front porch to Napa, Solano, and Sonoma counties so that we actually have a state-funded pilot project for 3 communities. Right now, Solano doesn't have anything. Sonoma has a small closet that I started about 15 years ago. And what we're hoping to do is to integrate it so that we have a truck, because many of the people who call us are very old or very ill and say, we can't come and pick up the hospital bed. Can you deliver it? Can you deliver this stuff for us, or can you pick it up? We don't have a truck. We don't have any staff, and we don't have any kind of integrated system. So if somebody needs a hospital bed in Solano and we have 5 of them in Sonoma, we can, you know, do deliveries back and forth. We also have a hookup with a guy in Sonoma who does the scooters, and he does repairs and stuff on the scooters and the electric wheelchairs. So if you get everybody integrated under one system, we could be much more efficient in how we do this. Because right now, we just rely on someone sending their granddaughter to the porch to pick up the diapers at 2 a.m. on her way home from work. And people do show up at 2 a.m. Mm. And so, and the other part of this is we have the volunteers, and we really need volunteers, because our volunteers go out and do the friendly visits, and they do the relationship building with people in the community. You'd be surprised, Barry, how many people live alone.
I wouldn't, honestly. I think about that a lot, as we've talked about issues on this show particularly. I think it's profound to me how many older people are isolated. Not by choice necessarily, just sick circumstances, right?
Right. They're old. They go, you know what? I've outlived all my friends. I have one woman here in Napa Valley who's all 4 of her children have died. She's outlived all 4 of her children. Her husband has Alzheimer's, and she herself is coming down with early dementia, and we don't know what to do because they can't afford to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. They can't afford to hire home care, and they can't afford to go live anywhere. So all we can do is kind of keep an eye on them, bring in a friendly visitor, make sure that someone's watching out for them. But there's a lot of people in this community who are living alone. No one's really watching out for them. And, you know, the other thing that happens is when you live alone, after a while, you stop eating, you stop getting dressed, you stop showering, you spend a lot of time in bed, and you kind of live in the past. So when we go visit these folks, they start telling us of who they once were, not realizing that who they are now is somebody who's not being cared for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of sad story. How did you've been working in this realm your entire life?
My entire life, yeah. 40 years, yeah.
With older people and issues around care, yeah, and so forth. How did that begin? What got you started?
You know, I wish I could give you some wonderful romanticized version of my life, but that's not the way it was. It just I stumbled into it back when I lived up in Eureka. I started a senior newspaper because I had a degree in journalism and I wanted to do something, and the local paper wouldn't hire me. And I said, well, I'll start my own paper. And that's how it started. I had an opportunity to meet Maggie Kuhn, who was at that time, she was the Gray Panthers, mm-hmm, head. And she came up to Eureka and I had a chance to spend some time with her and interview her. And then I started getting more involved in advocacy work. Actually, I got more involved in advocacy after I came to Napa. One of the things with Share the Care is you realize all the gaps there are in the system, the things that don't work, the belief systems that we have about aging, the tremendous ageism we have about aging. As you're getting older, you're probably starting to experience some of that as well. People start talking to you in a room as though you're not there. People will be talking and suddenly you're not there, especially if they're in their 30s and you have stopped, you know, you've stopped. And I mean, I notice that even when I'm at parties with my kids who are loving adults will often leave me out of conversations. And I'll go, well, wait a second, is that an age thing? Is that a mother thing? What's going on here? Because I feel like I'm being set aside. I know that everyone always talks about how older people are fonts of wisdom and all this. And I found that older people are kind of not much different than they were when they were younger.
Yeah. You don't suddenly become wise.
You don't suddenly become a font of anything. You kind of are who you always are. If you were a grouchy young person, you're going to be a grouchy old person. So it's not like I have this romanticized version of aging. It's just kind of what happened in my life. It's just a path that ended up opening up for me.
Mm-hmm. But obviously your compassion, your empathy must be off the scale to have done this all so long with, you know, you're saying it's not your calling, but it seems to have been your calling.
Sometimes we stumble on things, don't we, huh?
Yeah, most of the time.
Hey, I'm performing, though, because my real calling, I always thought, was to perform. So I perform in January at the Marsh. I have 4 performances. Mm. So it's quite exciting. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you end up in situations, and you go, oh, now I'm doing this.
Yeah, you shifted gears a little bit. Like, to jump back to that, the Marsh is a theater in San Francisco that mostly does solo performance work. So what's your solo show about?
My solo show is how I became a hoarder. It's all about the story of my front porch and how it came to be and some of the situations that have developed off of my front porch, some of the incidents that have happened. And anyway, it's going to be a 20-minute performance, and I'm doing 2 of them in January and 2 in March.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
When you say become a hoarder, are you joking?
You should see my front porch, my garage, my living room.
Do you have a problem?
Room.
Do we need to talk about it?
Oh, my God. So what happens is this. People drop off things. It ebbs and flows. And during the flow, sometimes I can't control everything that's coming in. So I've learned how to just put stuff in my garage and put stuff in my living room and then bring it out. My neighbors have not always been happy. Sometimes I've come home and my entire driveway is full of things. I've had trucks unloaded in my driveway. The things disappear rather quickly, but waiting a week or two for everything to be gone can be kind of difficult for a neighbor who looks out the window and sees, you know, walkers every day. They've been pretty accommodating, though. In fact, they've used the front porch as well. They've dropped stuff off and picked stuff up.
Yeah. I don't think you qualify as a hoarder when you're doing it to help people.
Maybe it's just another word. You know, my mom was a hoarder, so I always look for that in my genes. I'm thinking, well, is this really another way to hoard? It's just I'm a pass-through hoarder. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes and goes.
So people listening may be discovering this for the first time, and it's not that uncommon that you might be not an older person, just anybody can end up having a pair of crutches or a walker because they've had a surgery, different kinds of medical supplies and things. I'm not sure we want to give people the impression that you'll take just anything.
No, I won't. I will not take anything that's broken, rusted, or anything that you should be throwing out. Mm-hmm. And that's part of my thing is that I not only give it these items away to people, I also give them to the Wildlife Center. I give them to veterinarians. I have given away cases of catheters to physicians. I try to get everything out into the hands of people who can use them. But if it's expired or if it's something that should be really thrown out, please don't bring it to my house. That's one of the things that happens is sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and someone will have dumped a bunch of rusted stuff out there and I'll go, oh no, yeah. No. However, if you have so much stuff, and I know that this is something that's true about the hospitals and the nursing homes and stuff, is that MedShare will bring a truck to Napa, and they will load up a truck. And I'm thinking that maybe if we could expand this program a little more, we could actually get more of these things. But, you know, I'm really focusing on the medical equipment, but I'd really like to talk a little bit about the volunteers and the work they do in the homes, because I think the building of the relationships in these times is really, really important. And I know that from our group of volunteers, who are also older people, even though, and some of them are still working, that if you volunteer with Share the Care, you pick your own hours. You decide what it is you want to do. I have one person who just does home repairs. I have another person who just wants to work on people's computers. I have people who say, you know what, the only thing I'm going to be around for is to give a ride someplace. So that people can kind of come and say what they want to do. I have one person who just wants to make dinner for somebody and bring it by. So it's a really a range of things that kind of fulfills your own personal interests. And, you know, sometimes people get afraid. They get afraid to go visit a stranger in their home. And so there's a lot of hesitation about doing that. Once I had a realty group here in town who wanted to go out and do visits, personal visits. And in the morning, they all had shots of tequila before they went out because they were nervous. And I thought that was really odd because I walk into people's homes all the time and I'm used to it. And you'd think realtors, the most outward, you know, first people you can meet, but they were all doing shots of tequila before they went out.
Whatever floats your boat, right? Get the job done. I had some experience when I was probably a teenager, I guess. My mother delivered Meals on Wheels for a long time, and I would go with her periodically. And you start to get a little bit of an awareness, of some of the need out there, and the fact that a lot of times that volunteer dropping off that simple meal was the only contact that person was going to have with anybody else for significant period of time.
So the Meals on Wheels drivers don't come in the homes anymore. They can only drop off on the porch. And coming into a home tells you a lot about what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because people dress up. Sometimes when I visit and people know I'm coming, they'll dress up. You know, the women will put on their lipstick and they'll have you sit in the living room. Well, living room is not the place where you really want to sit. You want to go into the kitchen. You might go into the bathroom. You want to go into the bedroom because that's where the life really happens. And you start getting a better picture. People hide things. People are ashamed. They're embarrassed about having a stranger coming in. They're afraid it's going to be seen. And often, you know, we have discovered that just bringing in somebody a few times a week to help them out makes a huge difference. We developed a relationship with one man in this community. It's been 4 years. He was supposed to die 4 years ago. And he said to me this last year, he said, you know, I've never felt better in my entire life. He says, maybe it's all the attention I'm getting and all the care. He says, but I've never had so many people around me before in my entire life. He'd go weeks without talking to anybody. Mm-hmm. And now he gets home-delivered meal. He gets a telephone reassurance. He gets a regular visit. He's got a social worker in there. And he gets attention, and he's thriving.
Mm-hmm. How can people listening get in touch with you and become volunteers?
I would love them to become volunteers. You can go right on the web and go to Napa Valley Share the Care. And you can also call us at 492-3198, 492-3198. Again, we have a small training program, and we ask that you volunteer at least 2 hours a week. And that's a home visit, even if you just do one home visit a week. And we try to keep you as supported as possible. So 2 times a month, we have our own meetings where we talk about what's going on. Because one of the things that happens when you go out and do visits is your own issues come up. Your own, you know, somebody might trigger something in you. You know, especially we've had two people who actually died. And our volunteers, one of our volunteers actually found somebody who had died in their mobile home. And it triggers things for you to find somebody who's passed.
Yeah. NapaValleyShareTheCare.com, did you say? NapaValleyShareTheCare.com, 492-3198. Yvonne Beginski from Share the Care, Napa Valley, and Montclair Avenue. Drive by and you can see where all the action's happening.
You can.
Okay. Thanks for being here on Senior Moments
Thank
today.
You.
Very good, very interesting, very important stuff. Stay tuned, more to come on today's Wine Country Live.
Senior Moments was proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit in collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley Project.